All right. Aladdin. Commit slow roll.
Honestly, I never like it when I know we're slow rolling. It's too much pressure. Too much pressure. I can't handle it.
We're talking about dating, so we could not start the recording.
Yeah, we probably, that would have been a bad slow roll.
Dating and the age of the person you're dating.
Yeah. Yeah, well... Yeah, because, like, I mean... Again,
age gaps, not, like, dating underage, just in case this makes it in, it probably won't.
Yeah,
but just to be clear. Yeah, we got to cut that
out. Half your age plus seven. But it is that thing.
Unless you're Sir Patrick Stewart. I'm reading his autobiography. His wife is, like, 44.
Oh, no.
Sonny.
Okay, that's not good.
But they've been married for 10 years, so you know what? Who cares? Like...
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, like, why does it... I mean, I feel like that's the weird thing, too, is it's like I do feel like that like 18 to 25 year old range is really a big thing because that's when the brain develops. Because like at a certain point, like if your brain's fully developed, why can't you go just to any age if all of our brains are at this point are like
themselves? Anybody that you hang out with that seems normal, if you're in your late 20s and they're in their early 20s, it's because they're hiding their crazy teenager brain. They're hiding it from you.
It's a secret.
It's 100% there. Somebody like me, for example, when I was in my early 20s, no question whatsoever.
You were for sure crazy.
I was wearing my crazy teenager brain on my sleeve.
I mean, I just feel, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like growing up is just things become less high stakes.
Yeah.
Right.
And
it's just like,
I have great news about years between you and me, like how much that is true.
Yeah, it's like, 'cause like 18 to 25, I felt like everything was the end of the world. Like, it just, everything felt like the biggest deal.
Yeah.
And that's calmed down a little bit. I was really like, I'd get really upset of like a bad interaction or just like, I mean, even frankly, just like I was working like my first like service job at Panera Bread. And that's like, I guess this is my entire fucking life. This sucks. I'm never moving on from this. God damn it.
Wow, that's really melodramatic.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, for me, it would be like chain smoking, listening to Perfect Circle and watching Evangelion and feeling sorry for myself. that was the teenage routine from like 16 to 25.
Yeah, I would say one of the worst things in my 18-25, probably like the more 20s, like 21 through 25, was realizing I could drink alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
You can. I didn't do that as much then. Like, I settled into that in my 30s. Where it's like, I'm going to hang out at this hotel bar.
I like had the best, I was 21 and late 21 and it was like later, like I'd been able to drink for a while, but I suddenly was like, wait, I could just buy myself drinks right now. And I just downloaded a Star Wars drinking game and watched Star Wars and did a drinking game to it by myself and had the fucking night of my life.
That sounds great.
And since then, I don't think I've ever enjoyed it.
Okay, fair enough. I did have this routine in my late 20s. I know slow roll feels like it's dragging on, but
yeah, really
we're going to start it later. Who cares?
Yeah, we're going to cut half of it out.
I don't care at all. We do whatever the fuck we want. when I was in my late 20s, I would finish work, write for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And then as personal projects wound down in the evenings, I would just break out the Johnny Walker and chain smoke and drink Johnny Walker on my balcony.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, this is the life. So much time to think.
I had a dream that I had been smoking consistently for the past couple of years and think, oh, fuck, what I've been doing?
Dude, you need to quit.
Yeah.
Your dreams. Dude, I had a fucking I'm late for high school, the first day of high school dream. Like,
really?
2 days ago.
I consistently have those all the time.
This one was weird. The high school is very elaborate.
Yeah. Do you have any nostalgia for like this is the longest fucking cold. This is good. We gotta stop. Oh man. Here we go. Okay.
One thing we should work on. Credit where it's due.
Yeah.
Hey.
Howdy, howdy. That is interesting because I do listen to this podcast just for my own notes, just to be like, okay, am I enunciating? Because I don't always enunciate. Am I like talking too much? Am I like engaging? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you edit it. So I'm actually not even getting a realistic filter of myself.
Nope. Anytime you...
All the burps.
Here's the okay. If you're asking for feedback, in addition to filler words, there, sometimes you will start talking and then eventually get to what the idea that the idea will come to you after you've started talking. So there will be like a lot of wind up, and I'll take out like two or three starts to the statement and just get to the statement.
Damn, I didn't even realize this. I thought I was like really smooth.
Most of the time it's fine, but a couple times an episode, there will be a wind up.
A couple wind up. Hey, you know what? Those are good notes, and I will listen to them. And we are reading the Nintendo Power magazine. This is Now You're Playing With Podcast, the podcast for Brett and Weston.
Hey, it's me.
Read the Nintendo Power magazine. We are currently on
the volume... person with no vocal tics.
Yeah, what are yours?
I will also say so and then say a thing.
Yeah.
Most of those can stay. I will also say and like, although not, I don't use like as much, I think, because I've taught myself
to not say like.
Yeah. And then also
it's tough. You truly do not hear yourself say it. Like, unless you hear a recording of yourself talking, you would never have guessed how many times you said fucking like during that presentation. Or
it's
I wonder how much I'm doing that in my like sales job.
It's very informative. To hear yourself. See, I'm doing it now where it's like, I'm going to think about what I say before I say it, because I can edit out the gap.
Yeah.
So I sound smart and articulate.
Nice.
And quick.
Intentional.
Yeah.
Intentional. Well, okay. Well, let's dive into this. We're currently on volume 55 of the Nintendo Power magazine. It is December 1993. We're at the end of the year. We're rounding
it
up.
We made it. This is the end of the year. We're going to read the 1993 Sears catalog page by page.
Yeah, there we go.
And on this page, there's some leather jackets.
Mm.
This one is suede.
Honestly, you know what? I would read Sky. Do you ever read Sky Mall? Was awesome.
Oh my God.
On the airplane.
It's a massager that's like fuzzy. I don't know.
Yeah. Right, it is a crossword puzzle wallpaper.
Can you imagine how awful it must have been in the 90s, for example, to be on a plane and to not have just a vast amount of ways to entertain yourself?
I know. Yeah. You had Sky Mall. And that was it. Yeah, otherwise it's probably pretty boring. I mean, honestly, I actually write a lot during my plane rides. So,
do you really?
Yeah,
I try not to do work. I struggle with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, because I'm working a lot for, I'm doing work trips, and it's hard to write during those work trips. So mm-hmm. I'm like, if I had to get a good writing session in and out, and they're like long ass plane rides. It's to New York or Paris, so that's like a long ass ride. So
it's like 5 hours, five and a half.
Yeah, so I'm like, I got time. I'll do some writing. I'm in.
I'm still really grateful that. The minute that I can hear the plane engines kick in, I'm like, time to go to sleep for an hour or two.
I sleep so well on planes. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Sorry, listener. If you have trouble sleeping on planes, we don't.
Hearts go out to you. Okay. We should probably, we were
speaking of writing, you know, who did some writing a while back is Scheherazade.
Is that
the princess, the queen of, this is where the Arabian Nights came from, which of course, Aladdin, which was adapted by Disney into a feature film.
And then eventually Aladdin was
one of the Arabian Nights
adapted into a video game called Disney's Aladdin, which is the cover.
It's got Aladdin flying on the thing out of the lion head. I've not seen this movie in a while. Where are you going?
I'm
going to Pikachu. Oh yeah. This is the first time he's gotten it himself. This is crazy.
There
we go. he found the Pikachu.
Okay, we're back. Sorry.
Does Pikachu think about Disney's Aladdin? I kind of want to go watch Aladdin again, not the live action one.
I've never seen Aladdin.
Have you seen, like, what have you seen from this golden age run of 90s Disney movies?
I saw Beauty and the Beast as a kid.
That's one of them.
And I watched Lion King in high school, but had not seen it beforehand.
Okay.
So I waited a long time to see The Lion King, and that's it. I've never seen The Little Mermaid. I've never seen Snow White. I've never seen...
Snow White is not a 90s one. That one's way back.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, Sleeping Beauty also not... That one's older too, right?
Snow White's like the 1920s or 30s.
Snow White.
So it's very... It's like almost
Cinderella,
100 years
Cinderella,
old.
Cinderella, Disney?
Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella are both from the 50s.
Yeah.
And then you've got the weird era, like the post-Walt era where it's... Fox and the Hound, where it was like Don Bluth and all those people.
Yeah.
And then you've got...
I think I might have seen Fox and the Hound, actually.
Did you see 101 Dalmatians?
No, I really just remembered the McDonald's toy campaign. with there's like a bunch of I think there's 100 yeah, that, I think there's 101 toys.
What's messing you up is, is in the 90s and aughts they would re-release the movies and they would do the toy tie-ins. As far as you knew as a kid, you're just like, it's coming out, it's new.
As a kid I was like, oh yeah, 101 Dalmatian, that's the McDonald's toy.
Bambi is old. Robin Hood is old.
I think I also might have seen a live action version of 101 Dalmatians. I think
that the Glenn Close one.
Yeah, I think
which
I'm
is
more
from
familiar
the
2000s.
Yeah, Jeff Daniels is in there.
What's the like Roman one? The like gods one?
Oh, Hercules.
I've seen Hercules, but I saw that one in high school as well.
I would argue that one is post that Golden Age run, although.
People my age love Hercules.
It's like Pocahontas was like the cutoff. I feel like that was the last kind of pretty good one.
What was the
people like Hunchback though? I don't know. I haven't gone back to. I just know that early 90s run from like Little Mermaid to Lion King was like
they were on fire.
Yeah, they were all just bangers one after another.
Yeah, kind of like Pixar. Like I feel like Pixar's past its golden age, but like Pixar had that. I feel like that's why I love Pixar. I think I was like born during their golden age. Like they were just fucking throwing out bangers.
Toy Story kind of took the torch from them. Like because those first is Toy.
Oh yeah, a little bit.
Toy Story, Monsters, Inc. When was the first Cars? Was that in there?
Yeah, Cars was probably in that. That's probably the weird thing was Cars was Bugs like the Life. Bad one of them all. But
But made so much money.
I think Inside Out might have been like the last really great one. But there's probably a few. Like that's when it started getting a little more inconsistent. But I think through like Up or Wall-E, those were like the last ones where it was like if a Pixar movie came out, it was going to be like one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I think Cars 2 was the first one where people were like, what is this?
Yeah.
But it still was huge with kids.
Yeah, I mean, even Cars was like the bad one. Like, even the first Cars one, people don't like as much as the other Pixar movies, I think. Mm-hmm. It was a little less, like, critically acclaimed. But
unless you're, like, a four-year-old boy.
Yeah, and if you're a four-year-old boy, it's your favorite one.
Yeah, I know.
Lightning McQueen's freaking cool.
Ratatouille. The Pixar movie for adults.
Yeah, so that's the tough thing about this era right now that we're in. We're in like the 1993. It's like there's all, it's very much this big like Disney
license tie-ins end to end.
And like I've got I do not have much of a tie to Disney. So this kind of Aladdin cover I don't really care about all these license games, honestly.
You haven't seen this movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's really good. Robin Williams is the genie. Did you know?
Yeah.
Mailbox.
We're here at the Player's Pulse. This is a Player's Pulse where everyone wrote in to talk about who the best Street Fighter 2 fighters are. I would say they're kind of playing the hits here. I think just about all of the Street Fighter in general franchise characters that people consider to be top tier are represented. Chun-Li is, I think, in the modern era, like one of the strongest fighters game to game. And she's in here. Ken and Ryu, if you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Street Fighter 2 is like where, like, I haven't even played Street Fighter 2. And frankly, I haven't, like, done a ton of Street Fighter stuff. I did just buy the newest one, which is apparently awesome.
Street Fighter 6?
Yeah.
You bought it, but you haven't played it?
Yeah, I bought it yesterday for, like, a cyber sale, whatever. Chun-Li and Ryu and this whole gang, like, that's who I associate with Street Fighter. Like, these original characters. I feel like any, like, new character past then doesn't register with me.
You're saying you don't like the butler guy, Dudley, from Street Fighter 3? He's like a boxer. No. You don't like the weird little old man who fights with one arm because he's too strong if he uses both arms?
I guess like the newest guy would be like, who's that like guy in Street Fighter? You eventually got started to play as villains because I feel like a lot of the villains are iconic, like Vega and...
Yeah, but that's like...
That's pretty early on.
There's 100% new characters in Street Fighter 6, and I don't know who any of them are.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked that that Chun-Li was really high up there because I just assumed Street Fighter was like a boy game. But I think what happened was the boy votes got split off because there's only one female character. So anytime a girl plays, they're like, oh yeah, Chun-Li's the best character. Because like there are a lot of people writing in that it's pretty much like all the people writing in. It's like if it's a girl sending in the letter, they said Chun-Li's their favorite.
Yeah.
And then if it's a guy, it's one of the seven guy characters that they can choose from, which kind of spread it out a little bit. Because Chun-Li was as popular as Ryu, which isn't what I would immediately think, which that's fucking sick. That's awesome. I'm down for that.
She is the only, she's definitely the only woman character until Cammy shows up in Super Street Fighter 2. And Cammy also gets that revered status that Chun-Li has, where everybody
I didn't know she's the blonde girl, right? She's like the blonde military girl, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, she's French or something.
French?
British.
Yeah, okay, because I also think of her as like the core cast, which I guess she's not in the game yet.
Yep, she's in the next one. I think of the additions in Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, she is the one who stuck around the most distinctively.
Yeah.
Because you had, is it DJ, T-Hawk? I'll list them all. Fei Long, the Bruce Lee knockoff, and then her are the four new fighters.
Okay.
All I want to say here is this first letter here. Somebody's like, Ryu's the most well-rounded fighter, blah, blah, blah. The only thing different about, he's comparing Ryu and Ken. He points out that one of them is stronger than the other. This kid's full of shit.
Are they the same character?
They are. They have the same move set, and they do eventually diverge.
Yeah.
But at this point in time, and I looked this up, they are pretty much the same. The only difference is there was a mechanic that they took out of the game that a bug kept it on Ryu's side. So Ryu can take more damage in very specific circumstances.
Okay. But that was also a bug, though.
Yeah, so he's slightly weaker due to a bug in this
interesting.
Game.
Interesting.
In Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Cool. I also want to call out, I have one thing about Mortal Kombat that I like about the new characters. It's like every new character is secretly Sub-Zero through like time travel mechanics or like...
Wait, is that true?
Yeah, like Noob Saibot is Sub-Zero from the Underworld. I think there's one other Sub-Zero. Like,
well, they're all like all the ninjas from the different...
But I think they're all Sub-Zero secretly.
All right, well...
That's probably completely wrong, but I know, I'm pretty sure at least one of them is, like, Sub-Zero, but he died and is, like, a ghost now. That's what I want. Hmm. I want more of that. Or maybe it's Reptile, I don't fucking know.
That sounds crazy, but I don't know. So I'm gonna have to assume that you're right.
I haven't done a ton of it, but I'm pretty sure the Mortal Kombat, like, they have really, like, committed to a continuity story that's really nuts, involves a lot of time travel throughout the games.
Is this updated as of Mortal Kombat 1?
1 is the reboot. So this was the first time that they decided kind of Kingdom Hearts style, they have gotten too complicated to the point of redemption and they just wiped everything.
Is Donald Duck in Mortal Kombat 1? Can he cast Zeta? Can he cast Zeta Flare? Is he the most powerful wizard? I love that Kingdom Hearts made it so that Donald Duck is the most powerful wizard in the Final Fantasy continuity. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
He kills a space dragon with a spell so powerful it kills him.
All right, we're on the main feature, the Aladdin game.
I played a fair amount of this game.
Did you?
This as a kid.
As we talked about in, I believe, our last episode, apparently there is two different versions of this.
Yeah, the Sega Genesis one.
And the Super Nintendo one. The big difference, too, is his weapon's different. You get a sword in the Genesis and you throw apples. And so we are throwing apples in this one.
I'm reasonably sure they are just different games.
Yeah, they're completely different games. That would make sense.
But I don't know because I was a Nintendo kid growing up.
Yeah.
So the Aladdin that I played was this one where you throw apples and bounce on guys. I saw a fair amount of this game. The Lion King game that's coming up, these are all Capcom games. So they're pretty good as far as licensed games go.
Capcom rules.
This is no exception. It's a good platformer. However... It is pretty easy from what I remember. I definitely got up to the genie level here that's like stage 4.
That's good though.
Where you're inside the lamp and it's kind of this wacky thing.
Yeah, you're in kind of like a trippy inside of the lamp stage. I mean, that's good though. I mean, like I feel like if it's a game for kids, make it easy. Let it beat it.
Yeah, except for Lion King, make it very hard.
Is that one hard?
Yeah, like both from jank and from difficulty.
I feel like I just didn't have any games that were like easy enough for me to beat as a kid.
So Andy ended up with a copy of Kirby's Adventure on the NES.
Yeah.
And I think that was the first game I could beat without getting good using Game Genie first.
Yeah, yeah. Those Kirby games are great, honestly. I mean, that's...
They're for babies, but they are really good.
They're a fun time to play. They have such a cool vibe to them. Even the newest one that came out on the Switch, the like new 3D Kirby one, like I've heard people talk about on podcasts and they said it was like... Playing with their kids was like amazing. Like, just to like kids fucking love Kirby. I love that.
We know from Smash that Kirby is the most powerful combatant in Smash because he's the only one that survives the initial cutscene.
Yeah.
And we know Donald Duck is the most powerful wizard in all of Final Fantasy. Who do you think is the most powerful of the two of them?
Kirby versus Donald Duck.
That's tough, man.
I'm gonna go Donald.
I think it might be Donald also, but like, I kind of don't want to know because I think either outcome would break my heart.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe at that point, it's just the world ceases to exist. The world's more sharp sword into the world's strongest shield.
Yeah. Who do you think is a more cunning tactician, Batman or Henry Kissinger? It's like, we don't need to do this.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Speaking of everybody's favorite fighting game franchises, we're here at the first Clay Fighter game, which is a SNES, and it was on Sega Genesis also, and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
What's cool about, well, cool in quotes about Clay Fighter is that it is, all the characters are animated, actual stop motion clay figures.
Why'd you air quote that? Cool. That's awesome.
I don't like Clay Fighter.
Yeah, well,
but I can't.
Here's what I wrote in my notes. I wrote, I don't like playing Clay Fighter, but I like Clay Fighters.
Okay.
That's fair. You agree with that?
I don't like me. Even when I was a kid, I was not crazy about the characters.
Really?
Okay. I did not care for. So they have an evil snowman named Bad Mr. Frosty,
who's, again, a real clay like snowman in the game.
Yeah, and he has a little hat. There's a Elvis impersonator named Blue Suede Goo. There is a blob that transforms into things named Blob. I just feel there's a clown. There's an evil clown named Bonker. It's not doing it for me. Like, I don't love the characters.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I can get on board with these aren't like the most iconic designs. I think if they weren't like all made out of clay, I think I probably wouldn't give a fuck. But they're all made out of clay, so I love it.
What if, I mean, to be fair, there's plenty of criticism to be leveled at fighting games in this era because all of them feature two palette swapped characters who are rivals. Like the big one. So there's not, I don't know, man.
I want to make a quick argument for them with this Clay Fighters game is, like, for example, there's this character named Taffy who's this like long, like almost like if you were to look at like a long stretch of Laffy Taffy, but he's like kind of like split apart like Gumby. And it's like this big, like, that's cool because the premise of the game is like you're making things out of clay. So this is kind of like a typo way you would form clay. And like the snowman is like, you're like rolling up balls and you're like playing it. Like that feels like something you would make out of clay. And there's like this one guy who's called Blob, who's just literally like this kind of ambiguous like clay blob who could just transform to anything on the spot. I think they're grabbing the central idea of the game, which is everything's made out of clay, and they're using that idea to inspire the character design, which I think is cool.
Okay.
What I couldn't argue for is Blue Pseudo Goo, which is
Blue Suede Goo.
Blue Suede Goo, which is just Elvis Presley.
You know, he's the one that sticks out as interesting. Like, of anything here, I feel like, because why, what clay connection is there here, if any?
For Blue Suede Goo?
Yeah.
There's not.
I feel like.
There's not, that's what I'm saying is, but you like him.
Well, of the choices I'm given.
Yeah.
I dislike him the least. Here's my pitch. I could come up with a more interesting character than any of these in like 60 seconds.
Maybe I don't absolutely hate it. I mean, I think some of them are stinkers. I also like that it's not just like karate people either. Like it's not just fighters. It's a little more like cartoony, which is a little bit more my taste anyway.
We just don't see eye to eye about eye to Clay eye Fighter.
I think we both agree that this game isn't good. So we can settle there.
Yes. We're here at Daffy Duck, the Marvin Missions, and I don't care. I mean, Duck Dodgers is cool. Like if you just go watch some Duck Dodgers and Marvin Martian stuff.
But
the important thing is that the other side of this is the
centerfold.
Yeah.
The centerfold is a banger.
Yeah, this one's really cool. So, you know, obviously this magazine always has like a poster, and this one is a Mega Man X poster. It is
a sick
photo of Mega Man in like his new cool robot suit.
Zero is here.
Zero, your favorite guy who's got a cool ass ponytail and a cool lightsaber. You don't see it, but
fan favorite Zero. He has the lightsaber's there. You have to use your imagination.
Yeah, it's not out though. And then also it has like all the like bosses, because Mega Man has like, the whole point of the game is you go through like every boss, you go through like a gauntlet of bosses in their like lair. Yeah. You have all of them. And Mega Man X is pretty iconic, I feel like. It's like a pretty sick, they do a thing too where like each boss is like inspired by a different like animal. So you've got like a flame elephant. You've got like a cool chameleon guy.
Sting chameleon. And launch octopus. These sound like Metal Gear Solid characters.
We'll probably hold off until the next magazine because that's when they actually talk about Mega Man X. So maybe we should hold it. But Mega Man X is fucking awesome.
It's a great game.
That's like, because I mean, this issue as well, Mega Man 6 is in it, which I played for this issue. And it's just finally hitting to the point where like I love the formula of Mega Man. It feels like a thing that I just want to like keep. I could do that forever. Like eight bosses and levels that you can play in any order. You kill the boss, you get his weapon.
Yeah.
You go in Flame Man and you go through his like volcano lair. I could do that shit forever, but playing Mega Man 6 started to finally feel a little bit stale. Like I'm kind of like, okay, I kind of need this formula to get shaken up.
Yeah.
And Mega Man X is about to come out and that fucking shakes it up so well. Mega Man, it's like, it feels so fresh. It's like less platformy. It's more about like action. It's on the Super Nintendo. It's a lot just cool. It just looks cool.
It's a big art upgrade. And I think the incentive to go back to levels to go get stuff in each level makes it a little more open-ended and to, you know, to get like the new boots and the new, like your upgrades.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about, I really like about Mega Man in general is I love open world games where you can kind of explore and do whatever you want in whatever order. And Mega Man is weirdly the version of that with platforming. Cause that's not really a thing that exists. Cause you get to do the bosses that whatever you want to, you like in an RPG, you're able to be like, In Zelda, you can go straight for Hyrule's Castle in Breath of the Wild and be like, holy shit, I don't belong here yet. Mm-hmm. And Mega Man, you can just hit the hardest boss right away and be like, oh shit, I'm not ready for this. And Mega Man kind of like X kind of like introduces the RPG mechanics where you're like making your health bar go bigger. You're actually like leveling up as you go through it. So I think it kind of escalates the premise of it.
Since we're not going to talk about Mega Man X this time, I want to shout out the Steam game Gravity Circuit.
Ooh,
which is a kind of a modern Mega Man X thing with a lot of it is extremely well reviewed.
This looks awesome.
It is so good and it feels amazing. And it's very, people have been talking about how good the level design is, which is very much
just new.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this looks awesome.
Yeah. See, now, you know.
Okay, I'm going to play this. I'm so psyched. And I'm going to go ahead and do one other shout out, which is a very revered game called The Mighty Number 9. It's the game.
Gravity Circuit's a good game. Mighty Number 9 is something else.
No, don't play Mighty Number 9. This looks awesome.
Wait, what was the other thing from that era when Mighty Number 9 came out? There was a good Mega Man inspired.
Oh, was there like another one that game was like? I mean, I'm shocked that they're like, every time I play the Mega Mans, I'm like, they could do this shit forever. I'd keep playing it. Just, this is such a fun formula that I want people to like abuse it. I'm able to abuse and overdo that formula. And I'm sure that has happened. I'm sure there's like indies that have filled that gap.
There are so many.
Yeah.
Anyways, Gravity Circuit's the newest one. Go play it. It's so good.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. Awesome recommendation.
Nestor's Adventures. It's a Jurassic Park Nestor's Adventures. Here's what I want to say about this one.
Yeah. What do you got?
It's bad, but competent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like for what it is, which is a series of jokes where Nestor is running around with a little man in a safari hat. It is.
So, yeah, like each panel's got like a little goof in it. I do like, honestly, like I mean, the weird thing is like I like Nestor feels like could be like my taste. Like I just like a little bit of chaos, a little bit of destruction. I like the idea that like, hey, Nestor, welcome to Dinosaur Park. Here's a cattle prod. And he immediately just is like, okay, I'm like a bored little kid. So I'm just going to zap an animal with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to zap a dinosaur with it. And that's going to go poorly.
Yeah. And the brontosaurus sneezes on him.
Yeah. It's fun.
He's like, you train them to sneeze on command. And the joke punchline is, we had a date on Letterman. Because, you know, like the 5-year-old kids reading this magazine love David Letterman.
Yeah, I hate this comic.
Hey, I want to talk. Wait.
You want to talk about battle cars?
Yeah, let's talk about battle cars.
Okay. I wasn't.
Lead us in.
I guess I didn't think we were talking about this section, but I just wrote that it was an F-Zero knockoff, which it very much seems like. It seems exactly like F-Zero. It's got that like isometric, which I mean, I guess it's all racing games, but like it looks exactly like F-Zero. Looks exactly like F-Zero. It's the same fucking vibe. It's the same thing. It's future. It's like weird robot characters. Like the maps look exactly the same. It's the same thing.
It is a Mode 7 racer.
Yeah.
And except that it's got this like rock and roll, like, you know, your lead character is a guy in a like a T-bird with like a ripped white T-shirt and he's ripped.
All right. You kind of turned me around on this.
Something about the art for this appealed to me. It made me wonder because it reminded me of Rock and Roll Racing, which is another rock and roll themed futuristic racing game.
Yeah.
That one was by Blizzard.
Yep.
Feels like hanging out at a rock concert, like a rock festival in the early 90s, which means that whoever worked on this, vibes wise, these artists were like, we're going to do Western kind of punk metal alt rock stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result is this game. And they've done it twice now because Rock and Roll Racing, I would argue, is very similar, although that one has more of a comic book vibe.
Yeah.
And it's just, this is the same rabbit hole I go down when I look at 101 Dalmatians, the Disney movie, for example. And I'm like, how did this come to exist?
Yeah.
So it's based on a book, yes. But like, what are they trying to say culturally? Because you look at Aladdin and it's like, no, Disney's very specifically doing this big, expensive, family-friendly movie. Same thing they did with The Lion King.
Yeah.
But you go back to 101 Dalmatians and it's like, is the message of this that the fashion industry is evil?
Yeah.
I don't get it. So anyways, I guess that's what grabbed me about this. And there's just this bizarre, who is this for?
Yo, or what's the, you're also just like, traditionally, like a sci-fi movie or like a dystopian movie often has like a deep theme or message behind it. And this is, I'm going to guess not, doesn't have that. I don't personally give a fuck. I'm down for cool battle cars, but I'm with you.
All right. Now that I've tricked you with one thing, let me trick you with another thing. This is a Super Scope roundup. And by trick you, I'm saying that because I don't actually have much to say about this, but there is something.
I've got one
to this
thing.
Collection, which is that, okay, so this is a bunch of Super Scope games in one feature. It's Yoshi's Safari, T2, the arcade game, Metal Combat, Falcon's Revenge, and a special guest star. We'll get to it in a minute.
Yeah, that's the big. So they like, there's a lot of these are like ports of like arcade games. They're very much your classic, like, oh, this is what.
One of them is a port of an arcade game.
Okay, that's T2. At the very least, they very much feel that type of game where it's like, you know, those arcade games, the laser guns where you like shoot the bad guys who are running closer to you to the screen. If they get too close to the screen, they whack you. You lose the health.
Get out your bazooka for children. Your Super Scope 6.
Yeah, no, I don't know if we said this, but Super Scope 6 is like the version of that with the Nintendo. It's this cool-ass bazooka that you shoot at the screen. They throw a real curveball, so they have all these kind of like standard-looking ones. And then the final one is Lamborghini's American Challenge.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like those games. It's a classic like Cruising
USA.
It's
a licensed Lamborghini racing game.
Where you control the car with a gun. And
you can also blow up other cars with the gun.
So I don't know how you'd like decide whether you're going to be controlling your car or shooting other cars, but somehow you can both at the same time simultaneously control your car with the gun and blow up other cars that are near next to you. This is licensed Lamborghinis. Who's like, that's so not their, because aren't they like extremely precious with their property, or is that Ferrari?
I don't know. This is why they are now. I have to.
This game, their stock just drops like 50%.
Lamborghini has to have been not thrilled about this, or they just didn't understand it, didn't care. But like, think about Gran Turismo, which is like the big authentic car game now.
Yeah.
And you can't even show damage on the cars.
No. Yeah. There's like, that's why I mentioned that. It's like, they're extremely, extremely like precious with.
Kia will let you blow up other brands of cars,
which
in
is
their
a bummer
game.
Too. Because like, if you're a kid, and frankly, even as an adult playing a racing game, you know what I want to do? I want to crash the car and I want to see that shit crunkle up.
When are we getting Burnout Paradise 2? It'll never happen, and it hurts my heart so much to say that.
But okay, this is as much as like this is very
Need
silly,
for Speed is not the same. It's not.
Yeah, it
it's
really
not
isn't.
The same as Burnout.
I agree. You want to crinkle those cars?
Crinkle the cars.
Crinkle the cars. It sounds awesome.
I want to listen to some Jimmy Eat World and smash people into guardrails.
I also like the idea of like co-op, where like there's a lot of like indie games where like three people are playing a game, but they have very different roles. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm manning the gun, this person's controlling the ship. There's actually a really good one on the Switch or the Wii U where one person had the gamepad, and so they were like engineering your sub, and someone else would control the rocket, and someone else would control like the lights. It's kind of cool to me. Like if everyone had a different role, it's kind of like Rock Band where someone's on the drum, someone's on the guitar.
Did you ever play Artemis Bridge Simulator, the Star Trek game?
No.
The VR one where it's literally like everybody has those specialized roles.
Yeah.
I think everybody wants those to be a thing, but they just, for whatever reason, because the other thing that makes me think of is like Elite Dangerous or Star Citizen, where it's like, no, we have our own capital ship. 50 people have to crew it, 50 real people.
Yeah.
And it's like, do people actually enjoy this? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's like the role-playing GTA servers where it's like, no, I'm a delivery driver. I only can drive deliveries.
I mean, it is fun. Like, I mean, there is that thing where sometimes like I don't mind doing mundane tech activities on if it's a video game. Like I know I've talked about this before, but like I used to do like accounting and I would like be clicking like boxes and very simple mindless shit of just like type number, hit box. And then I'd get off work and be like, oh man, I hate this job. And then immediately start playing RuneScape where I'm just clicking trees.
No, that's
it's the same fucking thing.
Absolutely. Fun in games is not actually about fun. It's about progress.
All right. Yeah.
That's not, I'm badly paraphrasing something, but there's a couple of really great talks by game designers that you can find. And it's a progress and accomplishment, like gaining capability in a game world.
Yeah.
Is what it's about.
Because life's unfair.
Makes it satisfying. Yeah.
Life's unfair, but video games can be.
Yeah, but not the ones I play. Those are also unfair. Nuclear throne all the way.
Hey, you're listening to the Now You're Playing With Podcast, the podcast.
Are you ready?
This is the Beer Break, brought to you by Howard and Nestor.
Hey, I'm Nestor. Glub up that beer, my friend.
Here we go!
Hey, it's me, Pimple, of the Battletoads.
Hey, what are you doing in my front door drunk? What's going on?
Hey,
do you have something to say?
You listen to my radio show? Pop That Pimple in the Morning, K-Rock.
Yeah. That's the one where you
1997's
like,
Southern California, where you drive time of the year.
Piss off guests.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun back in the day. You, me, and the other listeners. Me and the boys.
Why is there glass shards all over the ground?
Yeah, I smashed my smashed my bottle of Thunderbird. I'm sorry.
Okay, what are you trying to sell me?
Battletoads are going on tour, but it's not important. Never mind.
All right, let's get back to the guys.
Okay, we're back, and we are on the Star Fox comic book.
Act 11.
Act 11, which is the
hello,
final
comma, goodbye.
This is the third time Andross will be defeated, and this will be the final time. This is like the actual ending to the Star Fox comic. I personally thought this one was more of a return to form. This had a little bit of more of the grittiness and weirdness I liked from the original ones. It's kind of just we're just kind of immediately jumping on clone Androsses. There's like a evil one and a good one, I think. There's one with the green cloak on is an Andross. And one Andross with like a red cloak, which is not in the video game. In the video game, the main boss is Andross, but I don't think there's like two clones.
No, none of this shit is canon. When we last left our heroes, two of the R-Wings got exploded. So there's only three R-Wings, and Farrah and Slippy stay behind, which honestly, in hindsight, doesn't make a ton of sense because Slippy is really competent in this comic.
Yeah.
And shouldn't he have been able to, whatever.
There's the whole arc about how Farrah looks exactly like Fox's mom.
Which, again, she doesn't. It's different animal. She's like a lynx or something, not a fox.
And
because we've seen pictures of Fox's mom.
Yeah.
Who is a fox.
But they're really, they're just pushing that point. And apparently Andross had like a thing for Fox's mom. And so now he's mistaking Fox's current girlfriend as Fox's mom.
Yeah, but only one of them?
And there's like an evil Andross and there's a good Andross. So the good Andross is like representing the side that loves someone. And the evil one's like representing the part of Andross that just wants world domination. So those like two Androsses are kind of at odds. They're kind of fighting each other. One's like, I love you. I love Fox's mom. I want to get back together with her. I'm so sorry for killing. I think he reveals he killed her. He's like, that was an accident. I'm sorry.
He put a car bomb in Fox's dad's car. And then his mom got in the car and it blew up.
And that's the shit I live for. That's the weird, crazy shit that I want. So they accidentally killed him, and so he feels really guilty. But then the evil Andross is like, "Hey, we gotta like focus on world domination." And he kills.
Yeah,
he laser disintegrates him like old sci-fi style. Like almost feels like he just shoots him with a laser gun, and his like body melts. And no more good Andross, is just the evil one.
Yeah, because the good one calls the troops back. He actually saves the people on the ground.
Yeah.
And so the evil one's like, "I've had enough of this shit," and fries him.
And honestly, I'm in. Give me some brutal stuff. And then that like is followed by like Fox and them in like this cool space battle. And we get more of that. Like, there's a panel of Fox like angry. And we've talked about this before, where Fox suddenly becomes the most terrifying animal ever. I don't know.
Yeah.
His fangs turn razor sharp. His eyes become featureless white pupils.
And while he looks like the most terrifying nightmare creature ever, he's like, "Falco, I need to do this one myself."
Yeah. It's like
this is Fox actualizing, is he's just like, "I need some revenge."
Yeah. I just love that. I love that Fox is a fucking psychopath in this comic.
This comic has something very specific to say about anger and revenge, which is that they are good and you should do them.
Yeah. And it's like this in my head, I'm like, "Oh, Fox looks scary," but they're trying to say Fox is so cool right now. I mean, literally there's a whole spread where we see Fox twice in this, or three times in this spread. And you never see his pupils. His eyes are just white.
He looks horrifying.
He just looks like a demented. He's not a human. He's not a human to begin with, but he has no humanity. Just like he wants to kill. He's like at his true animal self.
How many kids? Okay.
It's genuinely scary.
A second. We're going to go back in time 30 years. How many kids do you think read this comic and got into fights at school because they're like, "That's what Fox would do."
And they all like got those contacts that made your eyes completely white. And they just punched the shit out of each other.
Yeah. And they filed their teeth down to sharp points. like the guy in The Dark Knight Returns.
And then, you know, the friends that relate more to Falco just pin their friends down and just mercilessly punch his face until their fists hurt. Not until the face.
Yeah, but it's for his own good. That's different. That's not revenge. That's a corrective action.
Yeah, though there's really no good lesson behind this. It's not like, it's so funny because it's like he's turned into this evil like thing that seems like this should like reflect some sort of like thing that he should overcome, and this is not good. But I agree. It's like, I mean, even the next, I switched to the next page and Fox is still this pupilless, sharp teeth monster. And there's no real like comment on it. I mean, that just shows their.
Yeah. No, just like there wasn't when Falco beat up Fox. They never sat down and talked about it. He just did it.
Yeah. And
it didn't even stop Fox, if I remember correctly. He just like beat up Falco later and stole a ship.
Yeah, not really. And
nobody learns anything in this comic.
And not even that, but they have a point. So Fox is just this ruthless monster. And so he ends up not killing Andross. Like Andross is on its way. And
Andross and the pig escape.
He escaped. And everyone's like, "Fox, why'd you do that?" And his response is, "I want my dad to kill him."
Yeah, because he's going to the black hole where his dad is waiting. So he's like, "Yeah, he'll get his."
He's like, "That's my dad's kill."
And then at the end, everybody's carrying them and cheering. And it says, "Long live the Star Fox team."
And then there's a nice final panel of Fox and like,
"Let's finish the parade."
His girlfriend, who looks exactly like his mom, cuddling. And that's it.
Wearing the mom's dress again.
And he popped his mom's dress on his girlfriend, cuddled her after like, we watched Fox become a demonic monster. And it was like, he does cool pilot tricks. He then decides not to kill him because he wants his dad to fucking kill him. And then he goes and makes out with his girlfriend, who looks like his mom. And that's it. That's the end of the Fox story.
So I wrote this note here where I was confused about the clones, and I want to go back to the Andross clones.
Okay.
So you have one of them.
This comic is fucking crazy.
So you have one of them where one of them has some good traits.
Yeah.
And one of them is just evil. So it is kind of interesting that one of them pulls back at the last minute and doesn't want to kill everybody, and the other one shoots him.
Yeah.
So he like chooses evil. But why were there two clones?
Yeah, they didn't really. It's like they never set it up. But no, they didn't set it up. They're kind of out of nowhere. Was two like
they never developed how they were different either.
No,
it was just like, now there's two of us.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure. I mean, I could be misremembering, but I think the last issue just ended with we've got more Andros clones, and there's two of them. They're like, hey, we're here.
They literally just had two clones so they could do this at the end.
And then suddenly in this one, they're like planted as if this has been a thing they've been setting up since the fifth comic.
This is just like...
This has been like an arc they've been setting up, but no, it just kind of appears out of nowhere.
No, they just needed two clones so that one would shoot the other.
Which honestly was cool.
No, it wasn't. No, this is the same bad... Okay.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the movie Looper?
I actually like Looper.
Looper's cool, but...
Looper's awesome.
Let's talk about those blunderbusses for a minute.
Those are cool. Those are cool.
Those only exist so the ending could happen.
Oh.
Because if it was a shotgun, he'd be able to reach Bruce Willis and shoot him.
Oh.
So the entire movie does all this work setting up this imaginary gun just so the ending can create a specific circumstance.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I get on paper it's bad writing, but I don't care. Looper's awesome. I'm going to have to rewatch it and see if I agree. I mean, that you describing it, it's like, okay, that's clearly not ideal. But I mean, to be honest, like, I mean, I am in the opinion of I actually care more about moment to moment over plot stuff. Mm-hmm. So if someone writes a thing or makes a movie that like moment to moment is really fun for the most of it, and then there's a few like plot holes or like things that they just weren't able to iron out, I can forgive it personally.
I'm generally okay with that, but when the entire movie hinges on but
that movie's cool throughout though. Like that movie's full of cool scenes, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch it again.
And there's nothing cooler than watching who's the young actor.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Watching Joseph Gordon-Levitt go through an aging process where he slowly turns into Bruce Willis is one of the best things ever.
Their scene in the diner, I will give it to you, is one of the coolest scenes in a movie I've ever seen. Like the way they talk to each other is awesome.
Yeah.
That's legitimately great. Blunderbuss, really stupid.
Okay, I'm probably with you on that. And to be honest, I agree. Like having like, okay, we've got like an evil Andros and a good Andros. Like they're like two different representations of his personality and one kills the other. Like I get it. It's like, it's fine, but this is a lot to me. This is a lot higher of than these comics traditionally go. Like compared to, at least they're pulling something. At least they're doing something. Like the Zelda comics were literally like Link goes into a new dungeon and kills two orcs, then leaves.
This
at least does something.
I've decided that when they introduced the two clones, they did not know that this was going to happen. They figured it out later.
Oh, totally. I mean,
I'm completely certain.
I think this whole thing was really at their seat of their pants.
What are you going to do with these two clones? I don't know. But one of them becomes good. Let's get out of here.
But I swear, granted, a bit of that is the fact that this is an unhinged mess. But this comic right now that we're reading is the example of a Nintendo Power magazine that I like. I like the unhinged, crazy ones where they're just making weird ass decisions. I want it to be bad but fun versus bad but boring.
Can you imagine?
This is bad and fun. I'm happy.
What if it was? What if they actually dealt with the consequences though? What if you really had?
Yeah. I thought they actually
Falco
worked for
a and
second.
Fox like deal with the fact that Falco's the street kid.
Yeah,
and like, what if? Anyways,
that's why it's bad.
I don't think.
I genuinely thought when we first started this comic and we read the first three issues of it, I thought that's actually what they were going to do. And I was really excited. They did not do that.
Started off strong.
They decided to not pay off in anything. And
they also don't acknowledge that Corneria created this entire mess themselves.
No,
because Andros was part of their like military industrial complex.
No, like we've talked about this before. It's like they consistently make seeds of interesting decisions, but then decide to not explore it at all.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of a bummer about it. Cause they do genuinely like, to be honest, like I actually think these first instincts are actually interesting, cool ideas. Like I genuinely think having, I mean, maybe not for a kid's thing of like Fox, but like, I do like having like your main protagonist have like anger issues. That's kind of cool. I'm in for that.
You watched,
and it'd be like terrifying.
You watched Andor, right?
No, I have not.
I just feel like I'm pulling really hard right now for it's like, no, the Star Fox comic should be heady and have consequences and really interesting, deep characters. And it's like, I want Star Fox Andor. Like I want Tony Gilroy to come in and do this like really thoughtful meditation on the military industrial complex of this animal planet. And, you know, what it really means to rob from the rich and give to the poor in space.
But the thing is, it's like they do take one step in that direction, but then just like the water's too cold for them and they escape.
What if Fox goes all wide-eyed and does a big revenge murder on Andross in like issue 4 of 11. And then they got to come back and deal with the, like, they're on Papatoon. They're Sherwood Forest planet.
Yeah.
And all the animals are like, you did it, you did it. But he just can't stop drinking because every time he closes his eyes, he sees that scared monkey face.
Yeah, and this one,
that scared polygon face blowing apart.
In this comic, they would just have Fox go to the liquor store, and then they would just never address it again. And we never seemed, we would just see him like something bad would happen to Fox.
I gotta go get some juice, some pineapple juice.
Fox would just in a comic offhand say, "I'm gonna go to a bar and black out right now," and then we'd never revisit that context. I want to see them dive more into
the whole, like, I know what you're gonna say.
Fox dating a girl who looks like his mom.
Yeah, no. And, also, like, some part of
I want a deep meditation on like the Oedipus complex. Is that what
he looks over at her in bed? They're going to sleep because they're tired. Have to skip over the sexual part.
Actually,
and he just hates himself for doing it.
I had a moment where
he sees his mom.
I had a moment where I was like on a dating app and there was a girl I matched with where I'm like, oh, she's cute, but she kind of looks like my mom. So I'm like, I can't talk to this girl. And I was like, no, she doesn't look like my mom. She looks like the first girl I had a crush on. And then I was like, oh no, the first girl like I had a crush on, I realized at that moment, I'm like,
yeah,
look like my mom. I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I get it.
It's fine. I think what you're saying here is it's like, it's okay for the Star Fox comic not to be a heady Tony Gilroy adventure because on some level you don't really want to go down that foxhole because at the end of it, it's just going to be like, well, what is the deal with marrying people that look like your parents?
Yeah. Well, the people who end up on, are they siblings or dating? Have you heard of that?
Wait,
it's like a quiz.
Do I want to know what this is?
It's a quiz where it's just pictures of Facebook couples, and it's like, are they siblings or are they dating? And you have to guess. And I'll just say,
it like, sounds like something out of like 2005.
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to address my anger issues. I don't want to address. That's kind of it.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna go back to the Andor thing. if they were able to get the kind of conclusion that we just came to into the Star Fox comic, that would be so interesting. So it's a comic for kids about space animals, and they consciously don't, like, they see what's going on.
Yeah.
When it comes to their anger, to their lust for revenge, that's covering up that it's a way of compensating for the intense loneliness they feel from being orphaned. You know,
that kind of makes sense. I mean, literally, like, Fox does have the backstory to be like that. He was orphaned.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I want to see Fox just consciously be like, you know what? I could see this through and really get to that emotional bedrock within me. I kind of just want to blow up this spaceship, though. The end.
Honestly, I think there was one writer in the writer's room like you who was like, we got to fucking do this shit. Let's get raw. Let's go for it. And then three other writers are like, hey, we're working. This is a kids magazine. You got to calm down.
Star Fox Andor. That's what I want. I wanted, like,
I mean, that's the thing about like every Nintendo game is they all have like really cool world. Like, honestly, fucking like animal people in space. That's cool. I'm in for that.
Did I ever tell you that to get my first video game writing job, I had to do 2 writing tests because I didn't get it the first time.
Yeah.
And the second time I was like, okay, so the note that I got was, it's like, I got some of the tone right for this game, but not the other parts. And so I went back and did a bunch of research for the franchise. And I had to leave a note to myself where it's like, you need to be dumber and write less thoughtful things. That's literally my notes. And I passed the writing test and I got the job. So there you go.
Dumb it down.
Yeah. We're here at Mega Man 6 for the NES. We skipped over all the Game Boy stuff. Sorry. Sorry, Game Boy fans. Only time.
We're back. We're back in Brett's Mega Man segment. Every time there's a Mega Man game, I have committed to beating each one as we go through them. This is Mega Man 6. I'm pretty sure this is kind of the least well-regarded of the Mega Man. Mega Man 1's kind of like a rough draft, so that one's lower. But Mega Man 6, I think relatively people like a little bit less. I felt that the game's getting a little bit stale. I love Mega Man. As I said, the fun thing is like you have this like range of like really creative bosses, and you can like there'll be like a flame volcano boss, and you go to his volcano level, then you fight the volcano man, then you get his volcano gun. That's fucking awesome. And then that volcano gun's like gonna help you in the next level. You can go whatever order. I love them. It feels a little stale, honestly, at this point. One thing I think I like that they did that is also potentially the bad part about it too is I think this one's known as being a little bit racist. I think. I'm not necessarily one to be to judge, but like I liked it when these games have like kind of a theme to them, where like each of the bosses kind of have like a central like theme to them. Like the second one is kind of like the four elements. It's like kind of like there's fire, wind, earth, and whatnot. This one is like each like kind of like stage is like kind of based off like a real world like location. So there's like an Indian guy, and but then it's like Indians and cowboys is like the theme of the level, which I actually thought was cool, but I think it might be like not okay. I think people look back at this one and aren't necessarily cool with it. The flame guy has like a tarib and it's like an Arabian place. And I think that's also like maybe not cool. So it's like the thing that I like about it, which is like, it's a little more themed, is also, I think the problem with it is that it makes it a little like you shouldn't.
Wait, did you just say tarib?
Yeah. Is that wrong?
Is it tarib or turban?
Turban.
Turban?
I did. I'm a little drunk.
It turban. Looks like a sheik.
Yeah. Sheik. Something you had like
one thimble of scotch.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm going to blame that though. Yeah. So like I was being
quiet on purpose so that I could eventually wait for a moment of silence and say Tony Gilroy's Mega Man.
Yeah.
But like I had to jump in at that. No, I actually had the same reaction when I saw that and I saw the Native American robot.
Yeah, so it's like
with the what do you call those? The headdress.
Which is the frustrating thing is like that again, what I like about Mega Man is the things that I liked about it, it's like each world is like based off of like a central idea of like different world places. And like honestly, the Indian level is like, or Native American, sorry, is like it's like a cool cowboy level that like plays into the theme of it. It's like one of the cooler levels, but it's also I think the racist one. So that's the problem there.
They also have a they have Yamato Man who looks like a shogun or something.
Yeah.
So
there's like Knight Man who's like kind of like a medieval knight, and you go to like a castle.
Yeah, and Centaur Man who's not. I mean, it's racist against centaurs.
Yeah, and I don't even know. I think I've just vaguely heard that. I'm definitely not this. The standpoint on that, but I think that's like another like knock against it.
Only non-racist ones were the ones that Nintendo Power Readers invented, namely Nightman and Windman.
Yeah, honestly, I also went back into that. Remember, I was kind of critical about like there's this big thing about Mega Man, which is the really cool thing that I figured out about this, which is I didn't know, but like all of the characters were based off like kid generation, like
yeah,
Nintendo Power
out of Japan, and then more recently they did a big contest where Nintendo Power got a bunch of entries and passed them off to Capcom.
And I was kind of critical about it that I was like, oh, they're not actually like grabbing the designs. It seemed like they had a spreadsheet of like names they were already looking for and then just like grabbed it from the kids. But I actually did a little more research for this one. And it seems like actually most of them were inspired by the artwork, but they just tuned it up. Like I looked at the original artwork, what the kids sent for the Windman guy and the actual kid artwork. And the new one is this one is definitely just a more polished version of that. And I actually was like, wait, was I wrong? Did I misread that? And I went through all the old ones and it seems like a lot of the characters were actually inspired by the original artwork and it was just a little bit more polished.
Tony Gilroy's makes this Wind Man.
Makes this way cooler to me.
So Wind Man's got to deal with the consequences of him working for a big pharmaceutical company. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Let's just go watch Michael Clayton.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Mega Man rules.
Coming next month, Mega Man X. All right. Do you want to talk about Captain Novalin?
I do.
So this is the point in the magazine, not anything previously, but this is the specific point. This feature on these health edutainment games.
Yeah, it's like
that. I remembered that I was like, this was way back 2.5+ years ago. This was the issue that we did as a test run to see if we should do a podcast.
We've done this magazine before. This is our second time covering it, but it was 2.5 years ago.
So,
whoa.
But I'm not going to go find the original recording and put in. I don't even think I edited that one. I think we just recorded it and we're like, that was good. Let's just do issue one.
Yeah.
Volume one. Sorry. So this is a feature on these two games, Captain Novalin and what's the other one?
It's Rex Ronin.
X Ronin.
Experimental surgeon.
Rex Ronin, yeah. So Rex Ronin goes into people's bodies to teach them not to smoke, and Captain Novalin teaches you how to have diabetes.
Yeah. So the first one is one that I feel like it's like, okay, so I mean, this whole premise of like educational video games is like a valid swing. I think it fails. I don't think it really works.
Yeah. This is a big write up on why they are valuable. And
I don't think that's actually true. I think of them, Rex Ronan's the funny one, because it's a big like anti-smoking thing. And like you're an experimental surgeon. So like the way you like shrink into a little tiny guy and you go into a person's body, yeah, and like go, you, the first level is like you're on gigantic human teeth and you're like cleaning the teeth and it's like, look how shitty your teeth are when you smoke cigarettes, and it's to this weird sci-fi music. It's like very much like a funny, like kind of like watching The Room. It's like a video game version of that where you're like playing a total piece of shit and it's kind of fun. It like ends with like you know those like classic trope of like newspaper spinning, and it like it's like here's a big news article like Captain Superman saves the day, you know, the next one it's like Lex Luthor is in jail.
Yeah,
they have that, but it's like it was like they did a newspaper that like swaps and it's like cigarettes are declared bad. It's like then it goes, big cigarettes have gone down. No one smokes cigarettes anymore. And
this
it goes,
is like how Dare got kids to smoke, because they're like, cigarettes, huh? I haven't heard of those. I'm curious. Yeah. Especially since this cop is telling me not to do them.
So yeah, you're just like going through like weird body levels in like cleaning a body and trying to save the life of some salesman who smoked too much.
I have my original notes document for this volume from June of 2021.
Yeah.
My notes say, first off, Captain Novelin, it is legitimately noble to want to help diabetic kids. Diabetes sucks. And then I wrote, I forgot Captain Novelin looks like a middle-aged surfer who works at a bank. Fat face, thin dated hairstyle, but ripped.
Nice.
So yeah, that one holds up. Also, apparently, John Ratzenberger is quoted in this article. Pre Toy Story, John Ratzenberger.
I know that is.
He was on Cheers. He plays the piggy bank.
Hmm.
He really is the 1980s Jason Alexander. That was me attempting a joke in 2021. How did I do?
Hey.
Tony Gilroy's Jason Alexander.
Rex Ronan.
Tony Gilroy's Rex Ronan. The thing there is Rex Ronan fails to save people frequently because of his addiction to gambling.
Yeah, he's like saving people from cigarettes and saying that's too addictive, but he's got his own addictions of his own.
Yeah, he has to take his little spaceship to fly to his boss's office so he can make a deal to get the money he owes the loan sharks for his gambling debts. And he has to agree to fly into people's bodies in his little spaceship for 2 years to make up the, sorry, I'm spoiling Michael Clayton.
Yeah. Damn. Well,
the movie's so good. Fuck this. Let's watch Michael Clayton. All right, whatever.
Tetris 2.
Fuck Tetris 2.
They need, it's, honestly,
hey, what if Tetris had blocks that weren't four parts?
Yeah, it feels like Tetris is like a game you don't need a sequel of. They did it. They made it Tetris 2. Do you know more about this game? I don't know shit about
this. Yeah,
I've
played it. I hate it. Every time I launch it on my analog pocket, I get upset because it's not Tetris. It has weird, janky, it's got like Dr. Mario style color matching. It's got all this other shit. To be fair, it's by a Lorg, so it's the original Tetris. It's the real.
So they
Tetris
pretty much
people.
Made a new puzzle game. And they're like, let's just call it Tetris 2 to get people to buy it.
Yeah, they should have called it something else. I mean, they also made like what, Hatris and Weltris.
Yeah, so I think calling Tetris Sphere. There's like you're immediately comparing it to Tetris.
Yeah, it's a branding problem. Yeah. They shouldn't have called it Tetris 2. They should have called it
Moptris.
Yeah, Colortris. I don't know.
Blocktris.
This game.
Yeah, you just don't need to make a sequel to Tetris. You just don't need to do that. We've talked about like in the NES, there's two kinds of sequels. There tends to be where they really polish and pone.
You are drunk.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's one drink.
One thimble.
I'm a total lightweight. So we've talked about, okay, we're gonna reset.
It was like 10 thimbles.
We've talked about like two different kinds of sequels. There's like the sequel where they polish and hone a game. So that's like a Mario to Mario 3, where it's like they grabbed kind of what made the game good and they just kind of upgraded it. They made it a little bit tighter, a little bit sleeker.
Also the gold standard, though. A lot of NES games do not have some of the greatest game designers working with unlimited time and resources.
Totally. Yeah. No, that's a whole different thing. But then they also have, like, we've talked about the experimental sequels where it's like they just throw everything out the door and do something completely new. And that's like Mario to Mario 2. Mm-hmm. Or Zelda to Zelda 2 versus Zelda to Link to the Past. And I was realizing you can't, Tetris was kind of screwed because there's not the polish and hone version of it. Because you can't make, like...
The changes that they've made to make Tetris better over the years are smaller. You're right.
It's kind of shocking that, like, of the NES games, it's like every single NES game that came out, there was room for improvement, except for Tetris. Tetris was the one game you
really... Tetris on the NES didn't have the hold.
The hold. Okay, so there
you go. That's the one, and also up to drop. Like insta-drop?
Insta-drop and hold is where you can like grab one piece and save it for later. Is that how it works? Or is it when it tells you what the next piece is going
to
be?
So you grab a piece, you grab your first line to use it for lines later. And you can do one swap per piece distribution.
Yeah.
And so if you swap, you got to drop the swap. And then, hitting up to insta-drop where, and it also... Like Tetris Effect and other modern Tetrises will give you an outline of where your block's going to go.
Yeah.
So you just boop, 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 boop.
Totally. Okay, yes, there's some minor ones, but not a lot.
But yeah, that's not Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Which
that's
is a pretty big jump.
Super Mario like Brothers, Zelda Super Mario Brothers
to the Past.
1.5.
Yeah.
It's a small upgrade.
Yeah, and so they kind of went the Mario Bros. 2 route where it's just kind of a whole different game. And I have found that I don't feel like I really love any of those sequels. Like anytime... Like they were onto something, they needed to have just made it a little bit better.
I do like Puyo Puyo Tetris, which has a full visual novel story with characters named after the different Tetris blocks. And it's fully voice acted. It's super insane.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
And they have Puyo Puyo Tetris 2.
Yeah.
Which I have not played, but presumably is more of that and just absolutely nuts.
But I mean, honestly, if Tetris 2 just had the hold and like the outline, that probably would have been like a good sequel, right?
Yeah, I don't even know what you do. I think the illegal, the Tengen Tetris release on the NES. Okay, so to go back to my old read-through notes.
Yeah.
My June 2021 notes. I had like a lot more to say.
This is way back when you still cared.
It's kind of embarrassing. So to compare my notes. Hard
before the world ruined you.
Let me run down the bullets here. Tetris 2 is a registered trademark of Alorg. And I also point out that I don't know what a Lorg is because I'm like L block org.
Yeah.
There's a two-player mode, which is valuable. And then I say, Brett, do you know about unlicensed NES games? Because that Tengen game, which is based on their arcade, because there was like some rights issues over who owned Tetris.
Yeah.
As dramatized in the Tetris movie.
Yeah.
Which is okay. And I believe that one, in addition to the two-player mode, that NES game may have had T-spinning, which is the other thing that NES Tetris did not have. That's a modern feature.
Yeah, that's pretty... I mean, honestly, Tetris is all about T. I don't even, like, use any strategy. I love just being at the skin of my pants, just, like, fucking...
Just spin it! Just don't let it stop spinning so it doesn't lock in!
Then it fits somewhere, and it's fucking great.
So
this was an unlicensed version of it that just improved it?
No, this is the licensed one, but in between original, official Nintendo-published Tetris... And Tetris 2, whatever the fuck this is, there was a black cartridge Tengen game that was the subject of a lawsuit and this huge mess. And that version is distinct and has more features than the official Tetris cartridge. Yeah, so that's where you had two-player and some other stuff. And then in my notes, I start to realize that this is not real Tetris. I'm like, what the fuck is this Y block? And I said, wait, this game is full of fucked up Tetrominoes. And it has, it also has block separating stuff. And then I called it cursed and it talks about color matching. God, what the hell is this game? Anyway, so to compare my old notes to my new ones, my new notes just say cursed anti-Tetris. So there you go. It's so before and after. This is 2 years of me doing this pod, how it's changed me. This is not Tetris. We should move on.
Players pull contest.
All right, this contest is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is a Jurassic Park themed contest where they send you on a real archaeological dig with Dr. Jack Horner.
Yeah.
Who's like the inspiration for the Dr. Grant.
Grab Jurassic dinosaur Park. Bones. That was like,
get some of those dinosaur kidney stones or whatever.
Do you feel like, have you ever been on a dinosaur dig? Question number one.
No.
Yeah. Do you feel
have
like
you?
No. And I feel like it might be one of those things like going, I feel like it might be a lot
everybody's
less fun.
Done it except me.
Yeah. No. I think this may be less fun to do than it actually sounds in the imagination of a kid. Right. Do you think it could be like, you're just like fucking, you're not going to find anything. Do you think they like, maybe like, hit a dinosaur bone just and they knew where it was just so the kid could find it.
Hey, come dig over here. Maybe there'll be, oh, that's amazing. You did it. That's way funnier than, I was going to make a joke about how Dr. Horner then intimidates you by telling you how a dinosaur would murder you like in the movie, but that's like low hanging fruit. I feel like that's a very mid joke to go for.
Pretty mid.
You also get a Jurassic Park game pack to the system of your choice. Bones. Now what's
you
different?
Find human bones.
Yeah.
And then
oh my God, there's a lot of schools here. And according to the carbon dating, they've only been here for a couple years. Oh my God.
Wait, are you from Nintendo Power?
The FBI needs to get involved. Yeah. A lot of kids got kidnapped mysteriously from this subdivision over here.
I like this game we've been playing of like, because we've done this a few times of every single player poll contest about how this is actually secretly Nintendo murdering children.
Wait, have we done that?
I think we saw them about like a volcano sacrifice or something.
Oh yeah, that was an Andy episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we got into it.
So I like how each
so riding the bike up to fall into the volcano or something.
Yeah, each one of these player polls, how is it actually secretly Nintendo's ploy to kill children?
You know what would really kill them is some of these Jurassic Park games.
Okay. We're at the top 20.
Man.
What are the top three games for
December
everything?
December 93.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and just round off that. This is the ratings. These are the most popular games. These are the top 20 of each system. But I'm going to start us off at the top three Super Nintendo.
Number 14,
number
Sim
three,
City.
Number three, sorry. Super Mario All-Stars. This is a new one. It's 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything actually in this, like normally these lists have games that have been like around for like 50 months. These are all fresh games because at number two is Street
Holy
Fighter
shit.
2 Turbo. And at number one is Mortal Kombat. So all three of these are pretty like new games.
This is also, of the top three, 2/3 of them are non-Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's Capcom and Midway.
I'm also shocked just like, again, I didn't really know how popular fighting games were at the time, but kids love them apparently.
It's a big deal. It's crazy. Mortal Kombat's bigger than Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah, it is pretty shocking. I wonder if it's going to go way down off this list as soon as kids have realized there's no blood in it.
Sweat version. All right. I'll do the Game Boy ones and it's more of the same. On the Game Boy, number three, Super Mario Land. Number two, Super Mario Land 2.
Woo!
Number one, I can't call them calculator games anymore because I'm making a Game Boy game. So I have to treat them with some respect.
And
number one, Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
And these are all, I mean, Super Mario Land, I think you could argue is kind of a calculator game, but I think these top two
Super
games.
Mario Land 2 looks real jank sometimes.
Yeah, but it's awesome.
You know what?
Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, that's an awesome game.
Game Boy's all right. Check out my Game Boy game. I'll put it on itch when it's ready. It'll be a little 10-minute thing based on a true story.
Yeah, we'll give details later.
Yeah, next year. Maybe at the rodeo. Making games takes a while. Not that long, though, in GB Studio.
Honestly, yeah. I'm surprised at how far along your prototype is for just starting.
It is. Yes, it's very much prototype phase.
Yeah. And then the NES, let me do the top three. Number three is Kerbal Pusher. Number two is Super Mario Bros. 3. Number one is The Legend of Zelda.
That's right.
This is very much The Legend of Zelda has been at the top three position for 63 months.
Goddamn.
Not consecutive, but it has been in that spot for 63 months, at least at either one, two, or three.
It's a sobering reminder of just how big the Zelda franchise is compared to Nintendo's other properties, where it's like Kirby is a big deal. Mario is a big deal.
Yeah.
Metroid, not that big a deal.
No, unfortunately
Zelda,
not.
Yeah, I love Metroid, but like, it's just not.
Well, it's weird too now, because I feel like just now with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, I think Zelda is swapping back to like the, it's like huge. But for a while there, I think Mario felt more popular than Zelda.
I don't know, man. Zelda's, people are weird about Zelda.
I mean, I'm weird about Zelda.
Yeah.
I'm super weird about it. I love
You're
Zelda.
Very weird about
I'm
Zelda.
A little freak.
Here's the only thing in Pack Watch that's worth calling out, because there's some really not interesting license games. They do call out Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers 2, which, yeah, whatever. Howard Phillips is in the news.
Oh, really?
Our man, Howard. He's not at LucasArts anymore.
Really?
He was at... So the last we heard, when he stopped being in the Nestor comic as part of the Howard and Nestor duo, check out our retrospective on YouTube to get the conspiracy chart we made. It's really good. Yeah. If you haven't watched it yet. He wasn't at LucasArts, and we didn't find out that he left. They just say he left THQ to go to Absolute. I didn't put this together over the years, but I guess Howard Phillips had a pretty solid career as a game dev.
Yeah, he has no loyalty.
Well, it may also just be indicative of the industry.
No, I'm kidding. But yeah, no, I that is impressive. I didn't know he was really popping around.
Absolute did not make the most amazing games. Neither did THQ, to be fair.
Yeah.
At the time. I'm a THQ apologist from, you know, more recent decades when they worked on, because that was the publisher for Saints Row, right?
I don't know. I don't really know what either of these publishers made.
All right. Well, should have stayed at LucasArts. I don't know. Yeah, maybe he had a bad time. Maybe there were assholes to him there. Again, yeah. lots going on behind the scenes of game dev. It's a challenging industry.
Yep.
How do we finish the magazine?
Yeah, I don't know. We did it.
We did it. That's the end of the year.
Yeah, we did. It's the end of the year.
Yeah, I kind of want to get some pizza because this Domino's ad.
Yeah.
They're doing another one of the Domino's ads where you get some free twisty bread or whatever.
Yeah, but we kind of decided that don't want to end the podcast with us rating something every... We've decided that that's like an old format. And I've realized what that's become is we just talk about the same Domino's pizza ad every time is what we've replaced it with.
It always looks really good. I want I'm kind of hungry. I'm a little peckish.
I honestly don't hate that. The way we end this podcast is just talk about, man, that Domino's is looking pretty good.
You know what I hate is Pizza Hut now. There was a period of time where my local Pizza Hut would let me choose what seasonings.
I'm not going to fight this.
No, just, hey, I was quiet for a long time to let you talk about Mega Man. They used to, you could pick like Hut's favorite, and there's a bunch of Parmesan and oregano and shit that they sprinkle on your crust to make it all seasoned and delicious.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I wanted some seasonings on my Pizza Hut.
Yeah. What's, what are your favorite pizza places?
Tony Gilroy's Pizza Zone. No, it's, honestly, if I had to choose a national chain.
And you should rate it afterwards.
All right. No, we already did pizza place ratings. We did this already. We did it like last episode. All right, fine.
What's your favorite kind of pizza? And you should rate it afterwards.
Oh, come on.
Do you have a favorite kind of pizza?
What are you doing? You're trying to force like an awkward rating. Wait. Would you rather have pizza, ramen, or hot chicken?
I would probably go ramen of those three. I'm a big ramen guy, honestly.
Ramen's really good.
Do you feel like you would enjoy it if you owned a pizza shop and like it was doing pretty okay? That was your identity? Is you're like the local pizza guy?
Do I like making pizzas?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think you'd get fulfillment out of...
Why am I asking you? I like cooking. I feel like I would get weirdly into the foxhole I would go down. Haha.
Yeah.
Is get really into like water as an element of pizza crust, because that's the thing about New York pizza is everybody won't shut up about, oh, it's New York's, it's the aquifer water. That's what makes the pizza good specifically.
I haven't had my best pizza has been hometown pizza. I've had some New York pizza finally, and it's okay. And I've talked to multiple people who have gone to New York and have tried it. I don't know if we're trying the wrong places or not, but I have so far from my friends and just hearing the word around town is the pizza's just okay there. It's not like crazy.
The dollar for a slice era has kind of come and gone. I don't think anything's because they eventually kind of crossed over that red line where it's like, we can't do a slice for a dollar. It just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
We can't. There has to be some cheese on the pizza, and to make it for a dollar, we'd have to. Yeah. Back then, I mean, that was like functional.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. But it was just good.
I mean, that's even like I still think of Subway as like the $5 footlongs, but that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, no,
it's like $10.
Footlong is like $12.
It's $12 now. Yeah, it's crazy. Honestly, I think this is how we should end. We should just talk about pizza for like 45 minutes
okay.
at the end of every episode.
All right, so here's what I have to say about pizza. The pizza experience I would describe as closest to religious happened in Michigan.
Yeah.
So it's like Wisconsin cheese, and we just went to some fucking college town pizza place. It got some deep dish pizza, and they did the cheese bread up top, like a tray Ooh. Of the, and I was just like, holy shit, this is so good.
Yeah.
And I ate like 3,000 calories.
I mean, I actually think I like pizza a little bit less. Do you like calzones?
Calzones are amazing.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut has a $6 calzone. You can order some meal, Pizza baby. Hut. They just take a small pizza and fold it over, and it's kind of, I mean, honestly, that's how I got fat after high school was
calzones.
Yeah, and eating Chex Mix by the bag. It's like those two things.
Yeah. And this is me every episode from now.
Just talking about pizza.
From pizza, there's a Domino's ad.
You think this coupon's still good?
We should bring it in. We should print out this magazine and bring it to a Domino's.
Those franchises are not owned by Domino's or by Yum Brands or whoever Domino's is a part of. They're going to bring it in. This guy's just going to be really angry at us. They're not going to think it's a cute joke.
No.
Nobody that owned a pizza, like none of the people that owned a pizza place in 1993 are going to be an owner now, right?
Yeah. No, it's a different world.
They'd be in like their 80s or 90s.
It's a whole new recipe. Oh, also, really, this is the final episode of the season other than the rodeo. So, hey, listeners,
happy penultimate episode.
Yeah, penultimate. Thank you. Thanks
Tony
for listening.
Tony Gilroy's podcast episode.
Just go ahead and DM us if.
let us know if you see any good Domino's.
Yeah,
pizza
Domino's
coupons.
Stuff. And shout out. Tell us if you really love these new pizza endings that we're going to commit to.
Are you roasting that I keep talking about pizza?
I am.
Why is it me?
No, I think it's, I'm roasting the idea that we don't know what to do. So every time there's just a Domino's pizza ad, so we're like, guess we'll talk about pizza.